This is the Westridge Young Adult Podcast, where our goal is to encourage and equip college students and young professionals to grow in their walk with Jesus Christ and live out their faith in every arena of their lives. We hope to provide biblically rooted and culturally relevant content to challenge you and help you grow and navigate life and faith in your 20s so you can live with clarity and conviction in this age of chaos and confusion. So get ready, lean in, here we go.
What's up, young adult family? It's your fellas here in the podcast studio.
The body.
It's R.C. Sproul Jr., aka Blake Odgers.
And I would just love to.
What's up, young adult family?
You know, it's your boys.
You don't even sound like that. It reminds me of the School of Rock.
Yeah.
Where Jack Black picks up the phone. He's like, this is Ned Schneebly.
Well, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
Dude, Jack Black. What's your favorite Jack Black movie?
School of Rock, hands down. It's one of my, it could be my favorite movie of all time.
Okay. And I like School of Rock.
It's phenomenal.
It's hilarious. My favorite's Nacho Libre.
Ooh.
All-time favorite movie of all time.
Okay. All-time favorite movie of all time.
All time.
Favorite quote, go.
There's just so many. Whenever he goes up to the dude, he's like, why have you not been baptized? He's like, whatcha? That's so good.
It's good.
I mean,
it's
that's classic. So, all right, yeah, watch Nacho Libre, watch School of Rock, and
all right, young adult family, have a good one.
Yeah, that's it. See you guys later. Well, we're kicking off. I believe this is week 4 of our spiritual discipline series.
Sounds right.
Okay, we'll go with it. Week 4. You know, we've talked through prayer. We have talked through silence and solitude. We've talked through, what did we talk through last week?
Serving.
Talked through serving last week, and this week we're talking through the topic of giving.
Mm.
A lot of young adults, they just turned off this podcast. Mm-hmm. They're like, bro, I'm out of here.
Uh-huh.
I ain't got nothing to give.
Yep.
So we're talking about giving. You know, this can be a topic that sometimes just kind of gets buried. No one wants to really talk about mm-hmm. it. But we're talking about the hard stuff here, man.
Yeah.
And before we get into that, though, I got a question for you.
Hit me.
What's the favorite concert? What's your favorite concert you've ever been to?
Okay. What's my favorite concert I've ever been to? So I have a pretty diverse taste in music. So yeah,
he does.
So anyways, I'm gonna give you top 4.
All right.
Loved John Mayer. Got to see John Mayer. Phenomenal. Yeah. Got to see Chance the Rapper. Mm. Phenomenal.
Okay.
Was he
a Christian at this point?
He was. I think he's saying things about Jesus. So, so he also sang about other things that maybe not reflective of Jesus. So keeping us on our toes.
Yeah.
But Chance the Rapper, Lainey. Lainey's
great.
All time, dude.
That's your favorite.
I love them.
You showed me a Lainey.
I love them. You give me somebody who sings sad things with an upbeat.
Yeah,
I love that,
dude. That's your niche right there.
It is.
I remember I'd walk into your apartment to small group, and you just have some Lainey playing in the background.
Absolutely.
I couldn't even think of a song. I was about to try to sing a song.
Bringing the world into the Bible study.
Yes, of course.
Yes, absolutely. And then I've been to a lot of country concerts. So I think, I don't know who my favorite country concert is. I've been to a bunch of them. There's a bunch of different talented people. I got to see, we did like years ago. It's been cool like seeing the people who are like super, super like prevalent now who used to be openers for people.
Yeah.
Like I got to see Kelsey Ballerini open. Mm. I got to see, what's that dude's name? Brett Young open. Mm. But I've been to a bunch of country concerts, but those are my favorites for sure.
Because everyone in Alabama, is their favorite genre of music country? Is that just like
yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Anywhere you go, it's probably it.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite Christian hip hop concert, considering that's all you've ever been to?
I've been to a couple more than that, but being a student pastor, I am pretty much that's my niche is Christian rap. That's what I grew up on.
You got to meet Lecrae, correct?
I met Lecrae. It was awkward. I said I didn't really know what to say. And I think he definitely thought
apostle.
I was a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I told him. I said, hey, you're my idol. I remember dude, I was like obsessed with Lecrae. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, dude, if I meet Lecrae, like that's gonna fulfill me, you know. Uh-huh. And I met Lecrae, I was like, I don't want to meet any more celebrities. But I, yeah, I've been to, definitely been to my fair share of, you know, Christian hip hop concerts. Uh-huh. But I've been to Tim McGraw.
Okay.
I mean, that was good.
Did you get to Tim McGraw with?
Kara.
Okay.
Yeah, Kara and I went.
I would have loved to breathe. Like with one of the boys.
Yeah, with one of the fellas. It would just be by myself.
Need to breathe. Okay. Okay.
And the Tim. Oh, fun fact. I used to wear Tim McGraw cologne back in elementary school.
Really?
But it was only on picture day.
So everybody else was spraying Axe in the locker room.
Yeah, and I got my Tim McGraw.
Okay.
Yeah, my mom, you know, she would force me to wear some cologne on picture day.
Okay.
And she would squirt that Tim McGraw on me, and I was ready to go.
You're ready, you know,
so what other concerts?
That's
I've been to a Laney concert
that's
recently.
What hooked Kara.
Yeah, that was it. That was Tim it McGraw on picture day. And then, I was just telling Chandler that
you went to Laney.
I went to Laney.
Did you go to the one in Chastain Park?
Yep.
Nice. Okay.
It was dope. He came out to the crowd.
Of course.
And yeah, it was cool.
Shout out PJ Klein. He's a big listener.
Yeah. Yeah. He is awesome.
Yeah.
He gave us 5 stars last week. And lastly, I was telling Chandler I've been to a metal concert before. All right. And this thing doesn't even fit. This was a culture that I had never been a part of before. Went with a couple friends.
Uh-huh.
And dude, the mosh pit was just something that I had never thought that I could see that before. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, people were angry at each other, it seemed, but they were really just having a good time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when dogs fight, you know, you got a couple dogs that are messing around, and you think that it's like, it's violent. Really bad.
Yeah.
It's violent, but these people are just moshing, punch each other in the face, and it's just normal. And they loved each other.
Yeah.
So,
and you were far from it.
Yeah. I was far from it. Far away. I mean, yeah. In my safe zone. Uh-huh. So, that's probably some of my best concerts I've been to.
That is, I'm trying to envision you right now.
At a metal concert?
In a mosh pit at a metal concert.
Yeah.
And it is not jiving.
It was insane, dude. I'll never go back, probably.
All right.
So, that had nothing to do with our topic
today. Here we go.
Like every week.
Yep.
But, like I said before, we're talking about giving this week, all right? And I think this is a very needed topic today. Obviously, in culture and society today, we see just this this obsession and like the idol of money working in every space, right? And so, why do you think this topic is needed today? Why do we need to talk about it more rather than just kind of shove it under the rug? Why do we need to kind of bring this topic to light?
Yeah, I think for a few different reasons. I think one, because Jesus talks about it a lot. Like, Jesus talks about money and how we steward our wealth a lot. And I think the reason he talks about it is because he realizes, obviously, he's God. But, you know, the grip that it has on our hearts. You know, I love this quote by Dallas Willard. He said, "Jesus consistently alerts us to the two main things that will block or hinder a life constantly interactive with God and healthy growth in the kingdom. These are the desire to have the approval of others, especially for being devout, and the desire to secure ourselves by means of material wealth." Jesus consistently warns us against our need to impress other people and our need to secure ourselves by material wealth. And he sees the way that can grip our hearts, and so he constantly talks about it in Scripture. And if it was true back then, it seems like it's become even more prevalent today, that we are a very that, you know, today, as far as wealth goes and materialism goes, like I don't feel like the world's ever been more marketed, more materialistic, more prone to try to secure ourselves by means of material wealth than ever before. And I think the reason that we want to have this conversation now at this stage of life is because as young adults, right, you are setting the trajectory of the rest of your life, and you are deciding right now what is going to be most important to you, what you're going to pursue, what you're going to allow to kind of determine what you do with your time and what you do with your energy and how you live your life.
Yeah.
And I think what we see be most common in this age group is that the pressures and the anxieties that we typically come to grips with are directed towards the idea of wealth, that they've got to do something that's important and they've got to do something that makes them a lot of money because that's going to be what determines their security in life and their significance in the lives of others. And so anyway, and a lot of times, like people, like even parents, kind of lead you to mm-hmm. care about these things most.
Yeah.
You know, and now we have a generation that is the most debted generation in history when it comes to to student debt and mm-hmm. And you know, credit card debt and all these yeah. other things, because of the things that we value the most and the things that we deem are most important in this life circle around material wealth yeah. and stuff.
Yeah.
And so anyways, like we always talk about that our goal here is to bring clarity to certain things and allow and enable you to live with confidence to follow Jesus in a world that can cause a lot of confusion mm-hmm. and chaos in our lives. And we have a world that is against the grain of what Jesus calls us to live for, encourages the type of life and encourages us to be focused upon the very things that Jesus warns us against.
Yeah.
And so we need to talk about it because Jesus talks about it. The Word of God talks mm-hmm. about it. And our culture is talking about it, but in the way that's opposite of the way that Jesus directs us to go. And yeah. so we need to have these conversations.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, think about just the message, you know, of the world today, just like what you're talking about, is just buy more things, make more money, and then that equals happiness, mm-hmm. you know? And I think about all the people that we look up to in society today, the celebrities specifically. I was listening to this on the Becoming Something podcast. Shout out JP and the squad. But they were talking about just celebrities and the fact that, you know, obviously we all look up to celebrities and we see these people with this lavish lifestyle, and we see these people with everything that you could ever want, all the money in the world, the cars, you know, everything that society looks to. And these people that have all those things are mostly, from what I see, they're still broken and mm. sad, and they're finding out that these things don't mean anything, you know? And, you know, I think about, like, Post Malone. I remember I was listening to, like, one of his albums a couple years ago, and obviously this is a dude that, you know, a lot of people look up to. He's got a ton of money, ton of fame, and every single one of his songs on this album was, like, the saddest thing I've ever mm-hmm. heard, and it was basically all pointing back to the man, like, I got everything, but yet mm-hmm. I'm still sad. Like, yeah. it's not fulfilling me. Like, it's not satisfying me, and I'm yeah. just thinking, man, like, these are the people that we look up to because of this mm-hmm. this material and wealth success yeah. that they have, and yet they have it all, mm-hmm. what we're trying to constantly strive for, and they're empty.
Yeah, well, I think what we learn is that it's not money that ultimately we long for.
Yeah.
Money is something that we use to try to ultimately get us what we really long for. Yeah. In his book, Counterfeit Gods, Tim Keller talks about, you know, that our hearts are idol factories. But what he talks about is that there's these things called deep idols and they're surface idols. Mm-hmm. And he said that surface idols are the stuff, right? Are the things that we try to use. But mm-hmm. there, it all comes back to the deep idols that we have in our hearts.
Yeah.
And ultimately narrows them down to two main things. It's security and it's significance.
Yeah.
And money is one of those things that, depending on what your deep idol is, you can use for either one of these, right? Yeah. That maybe your deep idol is security. And so your idea is, man, I want to build up enough wealth to make me safe.
Yeah.
So that I'm never going to be harmed. I'm never going to be hurt. I'm able to take care of my family and protect them from hard things, which obviously is not true, right? Yeah. Rich people go through crap.
Yeah.
And so the idea, man, is that if I can get enough, then we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Right, security, or it's significance, and it all and your idea, man, is if I can get enough stuff, I can impress people to where they'll love me.
Mm-hmm.
And it ultimately comes back to I want to be safe, or I want to be loved and valued,
mm-hmm.
and those are the two things that our hearts long for the most.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, we're meant to find those in Christ. But just like anything else, we love to take things and make them ultimate things and substitute them in place of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I think about in Exodus, right, where the Egyptians are set free, or the Israelites are set free from the rule and reign of the Egyptians by God.
Yeah.
And then God gives them the plunder of the Egyptians. He says, "Okay, I'm gonna give you the power to be able to go into Egypt, plunder them, and take their wealth for yourself,
mm-hmm.
so that I can give you this. I'm gonna take care of you." Kind of yeah. showing that this is from God. God gave them this, and then just a few chapters later, what do they do with the plunder that they got from the Egyptians that God ultimately gave them? They make it into a golden calf and they worship it.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We take things that God ultimately gives us and we make them ultimate things and we worship
yeah.
them. We give our lives to them
mm-hmm.
and we try to find in them what is ultimately meant to be found in God Himself alone.
Yeah. I think we see this all throughout God's word too. Like we see it over and over again. The Bible talks about money in this way of it, how it can have a hold of your heart. Hmm. And I think as we look at society, as we look at the world today, and even in the church too, like we can see that money might be one of the biggest idols that we see over and over again. So my kind of question is what do we see in God's word about money? Like what does Jesus caution us of? What's kind of the theme, overall theme that we see as the Bible talks about money and what we do with it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think primarily in the ministry of Jesus, I mean, we see this multiple times. He uses parables a lot of times to talk about wealth and the way that we steward it, obviously pointing back to the kingdom, but he uses this picture of wealth and how we steward it to ultimately show that our hearts reveal what they treasure most through the way that we live.
Yep.
And he talks about this with time, and he talks about this with money a lot, that, man, if you show me these two things in your life, I'll show you what you treasure the most and what means the most to you. But one of my favorite stories that always goes to go back to is the rich young ruler. Mm-hmm. And it's in Matthew, it's also in Mark, but the rich young ruler approaches Jesus and says, you know, he's got a lot of money, young dude, approaches Jesus and says, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven, right? Yeah. That there's obviously a part of him that wants to inherit the kingdom of heaven. He sees Jesus and he's going like, I'm curious about this. I want to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus kind of goes through, they have a little debate about the law. And then Jesus says, well, there's one thing you haven't done. You need to sell all of your possessions and come follow me. Mm-hmm. And the rich young ruler walks away, and he's burdened and he's saddened. And then Jesus looks at him and with compassion, and his heart is broken because he sees the grip that wealth has on the rich young ruler, and it's keeping him away from the life that is truly life. It's keeping him away from the kingdom of heaven. Because what you pay attention to in the story is that Jesus doesn't chase after him and lower the bar. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, hey, okay, rich young ruler, okay, you know what? You don't have to sell everything, right? Like you can give a little bit of this over here and then you can come follow me. But Jesus says, look, I've got to have the rule and reign over your heart and over your life.
Yeah.
And this is what's currently over your heart and over your life is wealth. Mm-hmm. So in order for you to have me, you need to lay that down. And he can't lay it down. He walks away. And then Jesus turns to his disciples, heartbroken. He says, look how hard it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And the disciples at that time marvel, and they're like, oh, well, if he can't, who can get in the kingdom then? Because they viewed material wealth as the blessing of God.
Yeah.
That's how they viewed the blessing of God. And Jesus flips that upside down in the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, it's not about the wealth, isn't the blessing, right?
Yeah.
But you've got to be able to lay those things down that are rule over your heart in order to have the real blessing, which is me.
Yeah.
And Jesus consistently goes, man, how hard is it for people who are wealthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Why? Because wealth grips your heart. Yeah. And there's always this warning, man, that because like Jesus, he's not going to share you. Mm-hmm. It's just, he's not going to. And so he constantly calls us to lay down those things. And it's not just money, right? He calls people to lay down all kinds of different things throughout the Gospels. But one of the consistent ones is money because it just has a unique ability to grip us unlike too many other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good. I think one of the lies that we can start to believe about money is the fact that it's actually our money and it's for our gain. Mm-hmm. It's a means for us to, you know, kind of control our lives and we do find that security in it a lot of times. But one of the things I got to remind myself a lot of times and what we see throughout Scripture is it's all God's money.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is ultimately God's. Mm. Like he's the creator of the universe and he owns the cattle on a thousand hills is what Psalms talks about. And that really helps me to kind of shift my mindset from, man, this is my money that I'm gonna find security in and find my identity in and rather looking at God's money and think, man, what would, kind of like what we talked about it at the last young adult gathering, talking about work and what would Jesus do if he was working my job? Mm-hmm. What would Jesus do if he had my money? Like, how would he give? How would he bless people? How would he utilize this and steward it well for the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think we do that as believers today? How do we steward our money well? What does it look like to live not under the idol of money, but using that as a means to push forward the kingdom?
Yeah, I want to go back to what you were just saying for a second because I know that there are people who are listening right now going, yeah, but like I work my butt off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there are people who work their butts off to be able to provide for themselves. And yeah. I mean, I know different guys in our ministry right now that, I mean, they're working 50, 60 hours a week and it's labor,
yep.
right? In order to be able to provide for them, provide for their families. You know, I know, you know, we know certain girls within our ministry right now who are working their butts off. You know, they're in hospitals, they're nursing, they're doing all these different things to try and be able to provide for themselves and to have a life and do the things that they feel that God's called them to do. And so I know that you can hear this and you're going, yeah, but I work my butt off. And this is where it comes back to once again, our view of God, right? Do we believe that God is a God of restriction that he desires to take from us? Or do we believe God is a God of care, of kindness, of protection, who wants to give us life that is truly life.
Yeah.
And so, if you believe that God is a God of restriction, then you're gonna feel the need to hoard your money and to not trust him with it because you believe that God's desire is to take from you. And to make sure that you end up on the street or to make sure that you end up with nothing or that money's bad and you're bad and like you can do nothing good with it or whatever. You need to drive a beater and you need to, you know, never have a nice place or
like the poverty gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. To say that
opposite
God's,
of the prosperity gospel, the poverty gospel.
Yeah. Well, that money is bad and for you to have it is bad. Mm-hmm. That's not God's heart that God consistently, talks about his desire to bless us, right? His desire to not make us comfortable or to just kind of make us, you know, happy sitting on all this pile of wealth or whatever. But his desire is to take care of us because he's a good father. Mm-hmm. And so that's like, how do you view God? Mm-hmm. Is first and foremost, but in Deuteronomy 8, it actually, scripture actually tells us that it's God who gives us the ability to gain wealth. Like that's God's ability. And so for me, I have to remind myself that my breath comes from God and it's a gift that like, because of my sin and because of who I am and because of what I've done in my life, like what I deserved from God, what my wages of my life, the things that I had done had earned from God was death and punishment.
Yeah.
But that's what I had earned, right? The wages of sin is death. My sin, I deserve death. Mm-hmm. But instead, what God gave me was grace, that God sent Jesus to take on my wages, right? To take on what my wages had earned, which was death.
Yeah.
And so Jesus died in my place and took on my wages. And so if nothing else, that shows me God's heart, right? To be able to give to me, to not take from me. So much so that he proved it himself, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just understanding that that God is not a taker, he's a giver. And he gave you your breath, he gave you your gifts, he gave you your ability, he gave you your talent, he gave you your skill, he gave you your brain, he gave you your body. He gave you everything that you have in order for you to be able to work and do what you do to gain wealth.
Mm-hmm.
God created all of those things. And so ultimately, yes, we work our butts off because we want to be good stewards of what God has given us and the opportunities that he's laid before us. But ultimately, God has given us all of that.
Yep.
And so it's being able at the end of the day to go, this is all God's. Like every single bit of this is God's because every single bit of me is God's.
Yep.
If God owns me, then God owns all that I quote unquote own, right? Yep. He possesses me, so he possesses all that I possess.
Mm-hmm.
It's all encompassing. And so once again, it's God's money, but you are called to steward his wealth that he has given you in a way that honors him and helps people.
Yeah.
I forgot what all else you asked, so I'm going to stop there and let you speak into that.
That's so good. I love that. Maybe listeners right now are thinking, well, is it bad to want to have a lot of money or to have a lot of money? Mm-hmm. Like, is that something that scripture like warns us of? Mm-hmm. Like, should we just try to live our lives in this, you know, try to get like a medium income? Is it bad to want want that money? What about people who are rich? Like just what Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for the rich to inherit the kingdom. You know, what does that point to? Like, what's Jesus' main point there?
Yeah, I've gotten to serve the past few years in a pretty wealthy community in Atlanta, and a lot of the young people that I've gotten to serve alongside there come from very predominant families who have a lot of money. And not long ago, I was sitting at dinner with one of the guys there, and he asked me a similar question of, is it bad that I want these things? Like, I've been able to see the life that it can afford me and afford my family and that kind of stuff. Is it bad to want this? And I kind of thought about it for a second. I was like, I don't think it's bad to want it. I think it's bad to need it. Mm. And I think that, because once we need that, then we're going to pursue that at the expense of faithfulness and obedience to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, like even though I feel called by God to be in ministry or to plant a church or whatever, like the calling that God's placed on my life, if I need wealth and comfort, it's not found in that pathway.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. So I'm going to be willing to compromise on that to be able to pursue these other things. And it's the same exact way for other people. And more so, not necessarily what you do, but how you live your life, mm-hmm. that God is calling you to live your life in a certain way where you aren't dominated by work, but you're able to make time for the people that he's placed in your life and your sphere of influence for both ministry, but also just for enjoyment. Like your family needs to be prioritized.
Yeah.
You know, being able to serve the body and be able to be in community. Those things need to be prioritized. But if you need wealth, then mm-hmm. you're going to compromise on those things in order to work more, gain more, possess more, do more. And those things start now. Like that's not just later when you do maintain this wealthiness and achieve this wealthiness and all that. Like that, like greed happens now, even when you don't have it, because greed is this love for money, this desire for money, mm-hmm. In order for it to protect you and give you what ultimately God wants to give you. You put money in that space, and greed doesn't begin when you have a lot of money. Greed begins right now.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I think that there's warnings there. If you already are wealthy, right? If you're listening to this and like you have a lot of money, you're not necessarily in a space where you're trying to pursue and that kind of stuff. I think it's looking at stories like the rich young ruler to go like, mm-hmm. hey, I need to be aware of the grip that this can have on my heart. Do I view this as mine? Are these my possessions? Or is this something that I'm called to steward and give away to honor God and help people?
Yeah.
Do I view myself as simply a conduit of this? I mean, I've gotten to see some of the wealthiest people, as far as like their bank account goes, live very, I don't want to say diminished, but living less than what they can afford to live, like way less, way below
their means.
Yeah, way below their means.
Yeah.
In order to be able to not only be generous with their money, but also to be able to have experiences, you know, with their family that bonds them together as a family, rather than just getting stuff that ultimately just leads to payments and you end up being in a lot of debt.
Yeah.
And you start to live a lifestyle that you can't really maintain and can easily be lost.
Yeah.
And so, so anyway, all those things, like God's trying to protect us, that mm-hmm. when he places parameters around these things and cautions us and tells us to look to keep watch over our soul, because these things can have a grip on us, it's to protect us, because he doesn't want us to build our lives on something that can ultimately be lost and is meant to be a tool mm-hmm. for us to steward our lives well, once again, in a way that honors God and helps people.
Yeah, that's good. So what's kind of like the antithesis for what we're actually called to do?
Good word, dude.
Yeah, I learned that in college.
That's nice.
I'm not actually sure what it means, okay. But it just sounded good.
Okay.
So what's the antithesis to to what we're actually called to do? Like, we know that money can become an idol in our life, that it can become a thing that takes over our life. Uh-huh. Did you just look up the definition?
Well, because I'm pretty sure it means the opposite, right?
So what's the opposite? If we're not called money an idol, And to let it, you know,
have a hold over our lives. Use the word that was too
big. What are we actually called to?
Okay.
You know, what does that look like? We know that scripture talks about generosity, but what does that actually look like? Are we supposed to give all our money away? Sell all our possessions? Are we supposed to keep some of that and withhold some of that for ourselves? Like what does the Bible talk about there?
Yeah, so the Bible gives us like a lot of principles when it comes to managing our money and finances. It doesn't necessarily say, hey, do these three things, right? But it gives us a lot of principles. You know, I think a lot of people are probably familiar with the term of tithing, which is an Old Testament term that was more of a, hey, you know, you need to give this amount. This is the minimum required to satisfy the law. I expect all of you to give this much. You know, people have tossed around the 10% number mm-hmm. and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But now that we live in the New Testament, age of things, the new covenant, right? That we're no longer under law, but we're under grace. Mm-hmm. Now there's more of a grace, a gospel-centered, grace-driven generosity that's mm-hmm. kind of expected from us. Because what we've seen is a God that does not withhold from us, but is willing to go and even lay down his own life on our behalf. Yeah. And so we see a generous God, and we have been set free from the bondage of our own sin and slavery. And when we understand and grasp the gospel, mm-hmm. right, that there's a God who loves us and laid down his life for us, right? Jesus came not to make God love you, but he came because God already loved you. Mm-hmm. And Jesus has done this on our behalf, that when we see that, we see an example that we are called to follow, mm-hmm. that we aren't owned by our possessions or owned by the things of this world, but we freely can lay them down. We're not possessed by them; we possess them. That yeah. we are not mastered by them; we master over them.
Yeah.
And it's because we are mastered ultimately by Jesus. And so as we follow him, we have his example. And so we are called to a gospel-centered, grace-driven generosity where stuff is not what I look to for security and significance. I have that in Jesus. And so now I can be generous with what I own and what I possess.
Yeah.
And so it becomes more of a means, first of all, like of provision, right? Mm-hmm. That God wants us to have our daily bread,
yeah.
right? That we are called to provide for ourselves and for our families. Mm-hmm. Now, what that looks like, right? Like some of you need to hear this. You have enough money.
Yeah.
Right. Some of you just need to know that you have enough money. The answer is not more. You don't need more money or more stuff. You have enough that you can live off of and live well.
Yeah.
And you can be generous off of. And some of you know the proclivity of your own heart to make an idol of things. And so yep. if that's you, man, like you just like knowing how to live on less. Yeah. I mean, Katie and I even like I remember us having we were walking. We were in Boston, Massachusetts, and we were kind of contemplating, you know, what God may be calling us to. And we were walking around the pond over there, and we just had to confess certain things that had a grip on our hearts. And we don't feel like necessarily materialistic people. You know, we don't have a lot of stuff. We live a pretty minimalistic lifestyle, and you know, are really conscious of debt and try to stay out of that. And so. But like as we started having this conversation, we started to realize all the stuff that had a grip on our hearts, like yeah. our desire to have this kind of home, this kind of living room, this kind of backyard, this kind of lifestyle
yeah.
that wouldn't necessarily be possible if God was calling us to a place like that.
Yeah.
And so we had to start to lay those things down. Like God was using that as an opportunity to illuminate some things mm-hmm. and reveal some things in our hearts. And we were to go, oh man, like some of this stuff matters too much to us.
Yeah.
And so moments like that man, God just reveals those things to us. But like you are called for provision. Like God wants you to have enough to not only, you know, eat, but enough to enjoy and steward and, mm-hmm. and to have experiences with your family and that kind of stuff. So there's provision. And then there's, you know, there's generosity that God's called us to a level of generosity. And now this is, there's a couple of different principles when it comes to this. First of all, when it comes to the church, mm-hmm. that throughout the New Testament, a lot of the Apostle Paul's letters center around fundraising and giving to the church. And one of his big yeah. principles is if you are receiving from the ministry of the church, then you should give to it.
Yeah.
And he even says, you know, that if we are giving to you spiritually, then shouldn't we at least receive some financially? Mm-hmm. And once again, I think there's a little bit of a perspective here where like we probably undervalue mm-hmm. The spiritual life. I mean, in a sense where Paul is saying, hey, if we give spiritually to you, then like that's so much greater than financially. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't you give some to us if we are ministering to you spiritually? And Paul literally, he says in multiple letters, we don't want to be a burden to you. Like we're not yeah. asking for you to, we don't want to be on Preachers and Sneakers. You know, we just want, like, we just want to be.
Paul needs his $3,000 J's, man.
He does. But he's just like, Paul was like, hey, I'm making tents. I'm content to be able to do this. But like, don't you feel like we're worthy of that honor? Mm-hmm. And I think for in the Western culture and in America, we so undervalue spiritual things that we overvalue financial, that we'd look at the spiritual that we receive and we go, you're not like, I don't want to give you my financial.
Yeah.
And because we have things flipped and the kingdom of Jesus works in the upside down. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's the opposite, but But anyway, so if you're receiving from the ministry of the church, you are called to give and give generously. And so there's that. And then also generously giving to other things. And so Katie and I, for instance, we sit down, we give a certain amount to the church, that we are members of, that we receive from. Mm-hmm. And so we give generously to our church, but then we have certain things that we're burdened by. And so, for instance, for us, it's like unreached people groups that don't have access to the gospel.
Yeah.
And so we give generously to Radical, and because they have missionaries on the ground in some of these places where they're unreached people groups, they're translating scripture into languages of unreached people groups. Yeah. And so they're doing a lot of the work that we are not able to do.
Yeah.
And so we give to them to do it. And so there's that. So provision and then generosity. But then, man, I think the, like when it comes to wise savings, right? And so I think the first two things that you want to do is have enough to make sure that you're living off of. Have enough that you can that you can be generous. Prioritize those two things first, right? What do we need to live?
Mm-hmm.
What do we need to give generously?
Yeah.
And then what's left over, right? Can be saved and invested.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but unfortunately, I think the way that we typically do it here is: how much do I need to live? How much do I need to get what I want? How much do I need to save and invest? And what's left over, I'll be generous with, maybe.
Yeah.
And typically, nothing's left over after that, right? And so there's certain principles in Scripture that we are called to do. And once again, this is not because God's trying to take from us. It's because God knows the grip that this can have on our hearts. And he's saying, look, I want you to trust me, yes, but I also want you to see the freedom that Christ has come to give you.
Yeah.
That he doesn't want you to be enslaved by the things of this world, but he wants you to be set free from them. And as you do this, it's by giving, right? It's by giving of yourself. It's the same thing we talked about with serving last week, that the way that we kind of crucify the flesh in our lives is by laying our lives down for other people, proactively doing that.
Yeah.
Even when we don't feel like it. And dude, there are so many times where we're looking at our budget and we're having to trust God. Like even as we sit down and pray through our gift offering this year, where we want to give a gift above and beyond any other single gift that we've given anywhere else.
Yeah.
We're having to pray through that, dude, because it is like, God, we're having to trust you with this.
Mm-hmm.
But we're believing that the story that you're telling in your kingdom is more important than what we're trying to secure with our own wealth.
Yeah.
And so we're having to pray through that. Mm-hmm. But it's an act of trusting God and saying, do we really believe what we say we believe?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a response to it, but there's also a discipline to it where we give God an opportunity to show himself faithful to us.
Yeah.
And so that's just living by faith and not by sight, right?
Yeah.
I see a certain amount in my bank account and I'm going, man, living by sight would mean trying to secure this and protect this and pat us up a little bit.
Yeah.
Living by faith is saying, I believe that God wants to protect us, that God wants to do good for us, that he can be trusted and he's faithful.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lay this down at his feet and believe he's going to tell a greater story through it.
Yeah. I love what you talked about, like the wrestle, you know, it's a daily wrestle for everybody, you know, just because we're a ministry doesn't mean we have it all figured out. You know, we're still learning to trust the Lord in our finances to what does that look like to be faithful in this area?
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like to be able to save money, to be able to give generously, to be able to give to different things? Like you said, Radical, like we give to Paulding Pregnancy, you know, and just going getting the idol of money out of our lives. Like, what does that look like? And so I think that's really good, because I love what David says in Psalms where he asks the Lord to search his heart and any iniquity in him, like bring that to light so that we can actually deal with that.
Mm.
I think this is a daily thing. Like I think about Karen and I, like we just got a house recently, you know, and that's a wrestling for months.
You materialistic piece of...
and that's the thing that we wrestled with for months and months and months, is like, man, we don't want to live like above our means.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to be house poor, you know, but we, at the same time, we want a place and space where we can invite people in, do life with people, use that house to glorify God, use that house to disciple up students, use that house to disciple up, you know, our young adult group and all those things. Ultimately, to use it for his glory.
Absolutely.
And there's things that creep in where you're tempted to, you know, live above your means, where you're tempted, man, I want to have like the nicest stuff immediately. Man, I want to like change this about it. I want to change this about it. And so it's a constant wrestling of asking God, search our hearts so that we don't sin against you. Like let those things come up in us, and so we can actually wrestle with these things and go to you and ask, what would you do with this house? Like how would you steward these finances that we have? And so I love like the wrestling One thing that I think about is maybe young adults listening today are maybe they've been jaded by the church before and jaded by maybe how a church misused their finances or something like that. Or they look on TV and they see the TV evangelists trying to get them for all that they're worth and to sow a seed. And then those TV evangelists saying they're gonna get 100 times tenfold. You know, like they're going to get all this money and stuff. And so there's so many different ways that maybe the church has jaded the vision of followers of Jesus today on money, and they're like, I just don't trust the church.
Yeah.
What would you say to those people today?
Yeah, I totally understand the wrestle, right? You know, what Christianity looks like in the West versus what it looks like in other areas of the world. Mm-hmm. There's a tension there. You know, there's a wrestle there as you look around those certain things. I will say, you know, obviously you look at, you know, we made a joke about it a second ago. You look at Instagram pages like Preachers and Sneakers, my favorites, Prophets and Watches.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, man, like how do I reconcile that within my heart that I am called to be a good steward? And yet it looks like as I give, you know, as some people give, like, you know, man, can anybody be trusted? Right.
Yeah. Bro, who is even into watches? Honestly, like if I had a 50K like Rolex,
Apple Watch, bro,
that is whack.
Can't even do nothing.
I'd much rather have some kicks though.
I bet half of them can't even tell time. But no, like there's, you know, you see these things and there's a tension, right? And so what I will say is this to try to set some people free is that the people who lead organizations, right? Like the people who lead ours, and we've talked about this in staff meetings and stuff, is like we will have to stand before God and give an account for the way that we stewarded people's finances and stewarded people's time, right? That God's going to hold us accountable to those things. Yeah. And so there's a lot of thought that goes into, you know, when we put together our budget, when our leadership puts together our budget and decides what we're going to invest in.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful, you know, to be in a church and in an environment where so much of our finances goes outside the doors of our local church. Obviously, God's been kind to us and we have, you know, a great facility and that kind of thing, but so much of our money goes out the door of our church to spread the kingdom, not only locally, but globally and nationally. And so I am thankful for that. But understanding that as you give, you are faithfully giving to what God has called you to give, that you're receiving from the ministry of the church and you are called to give to them, right? Mm-hmm. And then they are going to be held accountable for the way that they stewarded your finances. Like we are very clear that there are people who work really, really, really hard throughout the week to provide for their families and that then they have to, they're choosing to give their finances and entrust their finances to us. Yeah. And that we have to not only be faithful stewards of that for what God wants to do in our community, but we have to represent Jesus in the way that we steward that. And so anyway, man, like that's a high calling for people. But I want to try to set givers free because once again, we give, right? Mm-hmm. To set us free is to say, man, like we're called to give generously, and to entrust that to the people who lead us, and then they are ultimately held accountable by God for how they steward that. And that is a weighty calling and a weighty burden. And Paul writes about that, right? That those who desire to lead in the church, that's a burden that comes with that, and you will be held accountable for the way that you do that. And so our leadership knows that really, really well. They're very clear on that, and you know, we entrust our finances to them, and we allow them to kind of make the decisions on that, knowing that they're going to be held accountable to God for the way that they stewarded that.
Yeah, one of the things I love about Westridge is just how open and honest about money that we are. Mm-hmm. You know, there's every single year we try to release, hey, where do we spend money at?
Yeah.
For the gift offering this year, we're talking about, where is this money going towards?
Yeah.
Well, it's going towards church planting. Well, it's going towards FCA. It's going towards the community.
Yeah.
And
special
backing,
needs building.
Yeah, special needs building. Backing a ton of these things that we're doing ultimately to reach people with the gospel.
Yeah.
And I love, like, I remember whenever I started giving, I wanted to be more involved. Like, once I started to put my treasure, my money, where that was going, I was like, man, I want to be more involved. I want to be a part of this. Like, I want to start serving. And naturally, I think that happens because we start to be more invested, right? With not just one area of our life, but kind of inviting in every area of our life to be utilized.
Yeah.
So I love that, and that we can trust.
Yeah.
We're able to trust our church with our finances.
Yeah, I actually, one of the things that got us over here was, you know, we came on a Sunday and we were in an environment I had moved and I was looking for a different church, and the way that we steward finance, like, that's a strong conviction that I have. It's something that we have a strong conviction about in our home. It's something that that even, you know, as I look towards planting and that kind of stuff, and even running and even leading a ministry area, like, mm-hmm. something that we have very strong convictions about is just trying to be a good steward of the finances that people have given. Yeah. So when one of our first Sundays was actually kind of a financial review meeting, mm-hmm. and they put it all up on the screen, and I literally still have pictures in my phone from all the places that our money that the money had gone from the church to church planning, to mission, to missions, to building schools, to reaching the community, and all these other things that we've always been so generous towards in yeah. the community. That man, I was sold. I was like, dude. Next week, yeah. I was in Next Steps. I was becoming a partner of the church.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can get behind that. Mm-hmm. And dude, like, it goes back once again, you know, last week, what we see throughout the New Testament, right, and throughout the Gospels is our time and our treasure, right? Our time, our treasure. And the way that we invest those two things reveal where our hearts are at. And so that's why, like, a lot of times, man, like, I'm a big man in the arena kind of person. And yeah. so, like, obviously in the church world, like, people have a lot of opinions and a lot of thoughts towards what we should be doing and how we should be doing it. And like, I'll schedule a meeting, like, I'll hear you out. Mm-hmm. But one of the first questions I always have is do you spend your time here? Do you serve? Mm-hmm. And do you give here?
Yeah.
I don't need to know, like, how much or whatever else, but I ask, like, hey, is your time,
show me your bank account yeah. right now.
Is your time and your treasure here? Right.
Yeah.
Because if it is, then I feel like, man, you've definitely earned the right to mm-hmm. like have a voice into what we're doing. However, yeah. if you're kind of on the sidelines and you're not really a part of what we're doing here, you got no skin in the game, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a lot more reluctant mm-hmm. to really give a lot of weight to that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that's just me being honest. And so, man, like, if you're listening and you don't have any skin in the game, so to speak, man, I encourage you, like, not only from just a practical standpoint of, like, getting to be a part of what's happening in God's church, like, getting to look at the things that are happening in our community and to know, like, I had a hand in that.
Yeah.
Every single one of those stories that we show, like we showed on Sunday, like, I get to look at that and say, because of our generosity, I had a hand in that. Even yeah. if my name's not mentioned and that person has never seen my face or heard my voice, like, I got to have a hand in that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think getting to be a part of it and dude, knowing that you're going to stand before God and that these things that you're getting to be a part of through your generosity is going to be credited to part of your faithfulness, right? To yeah. just say, like, I was faithful with what you gave me
yeah.
and there's, you know, I've got some skin in the game here.
Yeah.
And so I just encourage you, your time and your treasure. Like, if you can give it to God, give it to his church, give it to his people, mm-hmm. And also, you know, leverage it, you know, missionally for the kingdom. Like, dude, yeah. let's go.
Yeah. That's good. I wanted to kind of wrap up our time with, I think, one of the biggest lies that young adults and really, really everyone can believe is, like, man, like, whenever I start to make a little bit more money, like, then that's when I'll be faithful with it. Mm. And I just think about, you know, whenever Jesus says, he who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. Mm. And so what would you mm-hmm. say to a young adult that is kind of believing that right now? Like, yeah. man, bro, like, once I start yeah. to get that full-time job, then I'll start giving. Mm-hmm. I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Know, like, what would you say?
Well, and even the idea that he who is faithful with little will be entrusted with much, right? That yeah. like, that like, you want to be, when you show God, like, hey, I can be faithful with what you entrust me as to be a good steward of, like, he's going to entrust you with more.
Yeah.
That's a good investment on his part, and he gets mm-hmm. a good return on that as you're faithful with it. And so, I heard Jonathan Pecluda actually say something the other day where he talked about essentially, like, if you're not generous with little now, you'll never be generous with a lot later.
Yeah.
Like, generosity is about heart posture, not wealth status.
Yeah.
And so it's there are people who are very, very wealthy who pile it up for themselves. Like, if you were to just pull together the top 1%, right? Mm-hmm. Which is anybody who makes, I believe, above $400,000 is the top 1% of American wealth.
Yeah.
That if you take all of those people together and you bring them together, like, dude, you know how much they could do, mm-hmm. right? And yet the world is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that money fixes everything or whatever. That's not the idea at all. Obviously, we know sin's the problem. Mm-hmm. Money's not the answer to sin.
Yeah.
And so, but it is the idea that man, it's not that simple, right? Yeah. That ultimately our hearts love to make idols out of things. And we convince ourselves that when I get enough, then I'll do this and that and the other. No, like the systems that you have in place now, mm-hmm. the habits that you have in place now, the disciplines that you have in place now, when you get more, it's just more of what you're already doing.
Yeah.
Like that's why we're doing this series, is to show you that like, if you discipline yourself to do things in a kingdom way, mm-hmm. as God entrusts you with more and more and more, it's going to be invested in the kingdom more and more and more.
Yeah.
And so it's a discipline it's a shift that has to happen and a discipline that has to be implemented, because you're only going to continue to do what you're already doing. And I think for us, if we can discipline ourselves to live the way that Christ has called us to live, even now when we have little, mm-hmm. right? When we're entrusted with more and more and more, he's going to have a good return on his investment from a kingdom perspective,
yeah.
because we've shown that we can be faithful with little.
Yeah.
And so he can entrust us with much.
Yeah. Man, that's good. And convicting. I mean, that's like big things to wrestle with, mm. you know? I love that. And I was just thinking about Jesus and how, man, like he, like you said at the beginning, like he models this for us. Mm-hmm. Like he gave it all mm-hmm. for our behalf, you know? Like he saw us in our sin. He saw us in our brokenness and our separation from him.
Knowing we had nothing to offer back.
Knowing that all we had to trade in was our sin. Mm-hmm. A terrible ROI.
Yeah.
Nothing on that return on investment, yeah. man. Like that's, but he saw us and mm-hmm. he loved us so much that he gave everything for us to be in a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as he gave his life, like we're called to give back mm-hmm. and we're called to give back with our time and our resources and the gifts that he's given us. Mm-hmm. And so that's just encouraging.
It's all his anyway. Today.
It's all his, baby.
Yep.
Well, any final thoughts, my man?
Nah, man. No.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you enjoyed it, give us a like, subscribe to us, leave a review. It helps us out. Or you can hit us up over on the WRC Instagram. The Young Adults family is over there. You got a bunch of good resources, announcements, all those things at WRC Young Adults. So until then, keep it real, saints and ain'ts. Peace.
Peace.